Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thankful for the privilege to come together to worship the Lord. There was a lot mentioned about fighting and battles in the earlier part of the service, and I'd like to look, if you want to turn with me over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I'd like to start there in the first verse. Nehemiah sort of tucked in there between Ezra and before Psalms and Esther, if you have a hard time finding it. Some of those little books I have a hard time remembering. So I quickly look back in the front in the index and hope nobody sees me looking in the index to see where it is real quick. all right, let's begin there in the first chapter, in the first verse. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month Chislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I bring them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, and who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. We will stop right there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of being able to come to thee. We're thankful, Lord, that when we come to the feet of Jesus, that thou hast stopped everything and listened to our prayers and interceded for us before the throne of grace and the Heavenly Father. Father, we just pray today that thou will help us, that each of us might be able to look up to thee, and by the help of God and through the promises of God, that our faith shall get a hold of those promises, Lord, and that by thy grace we might be faithful Christians. We just pray that thou will open the word to our hearts now this morning. Father, just completely shut us in with thee and allow thy presence to be here, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a couple of verses I particularly noticed at the end of our Sunday school lesson. It'll be some of the first ones, I guess, for next Sunday. And this was in Matthew, the 9th chapter. I thought it really went along with this scripture in Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Yes, I thought of this scripture. I thought of one of the very first things that has to be done before walls can be built up and gates put in place and protection against the enemy. One of the first things that has to be done is we must have a vision of a need. A vision of a need. And whether it's a need within ourselves or a friend or someone that's close to us, if we don't see a need, then likely we won't be concerned, and likely there won't be anything accomplished or anything done. And as the old prophet listened to what had taken place, and some of these Jews who were down in the area where Jerusalem was, it says that they were in great affliction and reproach in verse 3. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Over in Isaiah 60, and there's several different places that it speaks about the walls and the gates. Isaiah 60. And verse 18, Isaiah 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting, nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. Thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. And I've thought about that a number of times. The walls of salvation are those great things that protect us. And if we're going to keep the gates closed to the depression and the doubt of the enemy and all that, the gates are praise. We're going to keep the gates closed, then our praise is going to have to go to God. And this scripture paints a very dark picture here at the very beginning. And the old prophet, after he heard about the great affliction and the reproach and the wall of Jerusalem broken down and the gates were all burned with fire, he said he sat down and he wept and mourned certain days. And he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And he began to pray, and it speaks about his prayer here. And he was praying that God would have mercy on those that love him, and that observe his commandments. And he just opened up. He didn't say, Lord, if they hadn't have treated us this way, we wouldn't have been in this situation. But he made the statement here. He said in verse 6, we have sinned against thee, both I. He just started right at the very first place at home. He said, I and my family, my father's house, have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. And he went on to mention about how that God had laid out certain things, and he had told them that I will scatter you abroad among the nations if you trespass. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So if when God turns heaven's great magnifying glass right on your heart, on my heart, and he allows us to see ourselves as God sees us, sometimes we may realize in a new way how we need to move up. We have a lot of room to move up, a lot of area, a lot of ground to gain. And it may not be too pleasant of a sight at first. But we can realize that if God be for us, then who can be against us? And if we see the walls completely broken down, the walls of salvation completely broken down, and the gates of praise completely collapsed, where there seems to be no praise and no salvation, maybe a person finds himself either have never found God or in a backslidden state, there's hope for you. There's hope for me through the merits of Jesus' precious blood. But we must move forward. We've got to move to the one that can help us to rebuild those walls and put up the great gates of praise. And the old prophet went to the king. He was the king's cupbearer. And he was doing his duty. He was going in, going out. But the king noticed that there's something different about this man. Something's wrong. He's not like he used to be. He had a pleasant countenance about him. But now he's sad. And in verse 2 of the next chapter says, the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then he said he was sore afraid. And you know, when a person recognizes, when they are awakened spiritually to a need, especially in their own heart, or even a need in a loved one's heart, or the needs of their neighbors, or whoever that they've come in contact with, then we're not necessarily happy and merry as we maybe had before time. It may bring a sadness upon us because we see someone that's struggling. We see somebody that it seems like that unless they have special help, they're not going to make it. And it should cause sadness to come over us as we realize that there is a desperate need, a need that only God can take care of. But that should give us hope as we look to the Lord. And he just opened his heart up to the king. And the king said unto him, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, The queen also sitting by him, "How long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. And the king granted him letters that he might take as he went out, appointed by the leader of the land. And he left him this statement in verse 8, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And immediately, if a person realizes a need and starts to do something about it. Now, if you just say, oh, it's too much, it's too great, I can't do it, other people can, but it's just too much. Look at all the walls. There, I don't know how far the walls went around, but how can one person accomplish this? Then you're in trouble. But if by the grace of God you ask for special help and that you have a need and that God can meet that need, you'll notice one of the first things that's going to take place is there's going to be some people like in verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. But don't give up in this battle. The victory is ahead. In fact, Jesus won the victory on Calvary. He won the victory over the devil. And he won the victory for you and for me. Whatever there is in your life that may be holding you down or pressing you down, whatever there is that's keeping you from having the peace of God, God's able to give you the victory. And the way to victory is finding our place at the feet of Jesus. He knows all about us. I don't know how the Lord will lead. I've just barely touched on what we have here. I usually have never preached another message along the same line, but the Lord knows exactly what we need. He will help us through His power. He will give us victory. Let's kneel in prayer.